A very good morning to you. Mary Fagan here with you this morning on Horizons, and I am co-hosting the programme this morning with our new Communications and Media Officer, David Sheehan.
Hello, everybody. I'm very excited to be here.
On the programme, I obviously introduce you to David.
I'll be speaking to Judy Cantillon about Pattern Day in Ballyhike today.
And plenty of bits and pieces about the season of creation and our upcoming webinar. First up, David Sheehan, you're very welcome to this Horizons space. How are you?
I'm very well, Mary. Thank you very much for having me in here.
People will really want to hear what this new guy is like. So tell us a little bit about yourself, David.
I was born in Tralee. My family moved down here from Cork, I think, right before I was born. So I was raised here and I went to Gaelscoil de Gasman up in Shanachill, where I was always growing up speaking Irish. And then I went to the Gaelcloister down near the library. It's not there anymore now, as I understand they've moved.
So it's wonderful. You'll be able to throw in bits of Irish whenever you feel like it.
Yeah, yeah.
And totally confuse people. Or illuminate situations with our natural language. From there, where?
I went to college in Tralee as well. I studied IT and business. And then shortly after that, I moved up to Dublin, where I was working for Nintendo. I don't know if anybody...
The games, yeah.
If anybody remembers Wii Sports or Wii Bowling, I think that was a very popular thing here. And especially from when I was working in nursing homes, it was one of the top sports used to keep elderly people active.
And should we all be playing that again? So
if it gets you up and it gets you moving, I think in the world of exercise, the best exercise is whatever you're willing to do. Anything that gets you up off the couch and gets your shoes on is better than doing nothing at all.
Brilliant. So back to you. You're up in Dublin. And how long did you work at that?
I think I was up in Dublin for about 15 years. I worked for Nintendo for, I think, 6 or 7. I finished up there and I moved to a company called WebZen.
So it sounds to me like, David, you're very much into the technical, the computer, that side of things.
Yeah. That and radio have been two of my greatest interests since I was very small.
When did the radio begin?
I think when I was about 7 or 8, I got a cassette tape player. Initially, I would record music off of the radio, but then in the gaps in between, I would interview my friends and ask them questions, and we would do little show segments in between the songs. And then over time, I sort of lost interest in taping things off the radio, and I just wanted to record all my friends.
That is absolutely wonderful. So career-wise, what brought you back to Kerry? You're still in Dublin now.
Yeah, the company I was working for was sort of on a bit of an economic downturn, and I did miss Kerry. I wanted to come back. The sort of impersonalness of Dublin had sort of worn me down a bit over the 15 years, I think, and I just wanted to come back. So an opportunity came up around the time I was thinking of leaving Dublin, where Radio Kerry was doing a digital journalism and radio broadcasting course. And I thought, oh, that sounds like amazing fun. I remember the little joyful me tapping on my cassette player, and I'd love to try and focus on that as a career. So came down and did the course, and I loved it. It was tremendous fun. Me and my class, we did a project on 3D sound to submit to the IMROs, which is the National Radio Awards. And we actually won the gold that year.
Well done.
It was very enjoyable. My segment, I went and interviewed Kerry beekeepers, and I was trying to get the 3D sound of the buzzing inside of a hive. But it would make sense to anybody, but for some reason it didn't click to me. Bees only make noise when they fly. Inside of a hive, they're all walking around. If you stick a microphone in a hive, it's basically silent. So I had to put on the beekeeper suit and put on a big black windbreaker on the microphone, because bees are genetically bred to attack black things because they have a long-standing issue with bears. And there's nothing you can do if you're a bee to attack a bear other than go for the eyes or go for the nose. So I had to stand there basically pretending to be a bear. And I got some fairly good noise of the bees attacking me and attacking the microphone.
That sounds fantastic. Back to where you are now. You did the course, did really well with Radio Kerry. And where has that brought you?
After working with Radio Kerry, unfortunately, pretty much as soon as I finished the course, COVID hit. So everything kind of stopped then. So one thing that I was able to pick up over COVID was working for Sheen Satira. They have a wonderful archive room with all materials and videos and magazines and photos dating back to their inception. And their concern was that the room it was stored in was basically never used and it was sort of going moldy and maybe degrading. So I took on the job of trying to digitize it and preserve it for future generations.
And there you would have come across Father Pat Ahern, the founder of this whole communications studio here for the diocese, founder of Seamsa Thiara. Have you met Father Pat?
I've never met Father Pat. He's become a bit of a legendary figure in my mind because wherever I go, I hear about him and hear about the things he's founded. And as well, in Seamsa Thiara, there's a number of VHS tapes where RTE interviewed him about the founding of Seamsa Thiara. So I've seen and maybe more of his interviews than anyone else in the world of him speaking and the construction of Seamsa Thiara going on behind him. But no, I have never met him. So that'll be a big ambition.
Coming up soon, is what I'd say. He is a legend for sure, and we're very grateful to everything he's done. It's a very rocky time at the moment for Seamsa Thiara.
Yeah, from what I understand, a lot of the people I used to work with aren't working there anymore. I was even let go because I was paid part-time. So I was doing it part-time. Over COVID, it was kind of great because I would just basically go in with a mask on, raid the archive room, fill a huge box full of things, and then take it all home. And I had, as you said, technology. I had a number of things hooked up to take video off of VHS tapes. So I have all of those downloaded and then put up on a Seamsa Thiara server. I don't know, was that ever made accessible to the public? But there's hundreds and hundreds of videos of all performances Seamsa Thiara has done that are now more available for the public than they ever would have been before.
Wonderful. So back to yourself then. You did more study.
I did more study. I kept on with Seamsa Thiara for a while, actually, after they paid all their part-time staff with an art grant. What I understand, they didn't get the art grant from the government. So everyone working for Seamsa Thiara part-time was let go at the same time, including me. But a bit of a completionist, maybe perfectionist tendency, I asked them if I could stay on as a volunteer and keep digitizing the things for free just because I wanted to see it done. And I think the system I set up was a little bit complicated, so I wasn't confident I could hand it over to someone else. So I kept doing that for a while. But then in the meantime, I went back to education while I was doing the digitizing, and I went back to sort of increase my programming skills with the hope of, you know, getting employment in the programming field. But in the back of my mind, I always wanted to return to radio, but I wasn't sure how feasible that would be in the COVID times.
So you're here now.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
You are our new communications and media officer. What has attracted you to this job?
I love the work that Radio Kerry has done within the community. And I love the sense of community that the Kerry Diocese has. It was very important to my family in particular. I remember all of my sisters were married by the same priest. There was a Father Padraig Walsh. And all of my nieces and nephews were baptized by the same priest. So then, sadly, when my father died, it was Father Padraig who did the eulogy. And it gave me great comfort then to know that this person who was sort of presiding over all my family events knew my father and knew him very well. And it wasn't a stranger speaking about his life. And the sort of comfort and sense of community that gave me, I think that's really important.
So you love radio and you're into this space now, which looks at the religious, the spiritual, the things that keep us going. David, how are you going to bring all the skills that you have accumulated and gathered along the way into the Horizon space?
I think one of my greatest loves is stories and storytelling. And I think a lot of people in the community have interesting stories that they'd like to tell. And I'd like to hear them and sort of put them out to a greater audience. And I think it really deepens people's connection with the community and their own sort of spiritual connection to hear about what everyone around them has experienced and what they have lived and maybe the challenges they've overcome and how their faith could have helped them get through difficult times in their lives. Or help them have joyous moments.
David, it all sounds lovely. And we're going to hear plenty from you, obviously, because you're co-hosting this program with me this morning. And you're moving into the role I have been carrying. So we will be hearing from you throughout the program. And all I can say is you are very welcome with all your skills, your talents, your background. It's lovely to have you here, David Sheehan.
Thank you very much, Mary. It's lovely to be here.
Fumli, the heavens proclaim the glory of God.
The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The sky shows forth the work of his hands. Day unto day takes up the story, and night unto night makes known the message. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The sky shows forth the work of his hands. No speech, no word, no voice is heard, yet this span goes forth through all the earth. Their words to the utmost.
Bernie McCaffrey, thank you for joining me this morning on Horizons. I understand you're supporting the Justice, Peace and Integrity of Creation Committee.
Yeah, that's a group in the diocese, and I suppose our focus is around raising awareness around all of the issues that come under justice, peace and creation. And at the moment, this month is the season of creation. We celebrate it in September, from the 1st of September to the 4th of October, the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi, patron saint of ecology. And in this month, we're focusing on raising awareness. We also try to support parishes by providing resources for them. And then we're also running two major events during the month.
I know last week we had Sylvia on speaking of similar matters, but the main thing you want to talk about is a big webinar you have going on this week.
Yeah, we want to raise people's awareness around the whole ecology question. I suppose it's one of the major crises that we're facing, the whole climate crisis, just to help people to understand what's happening. And we begin with the story of creation. And our speaker, Dr. Niamh Brennan, Well, take us through, I suppose, creation, how our world has come into being. And she'll also link it with the scientific information around it. So Niamh will help us to celebrate this season of creation. So Niamh will give us the big picture, the creation, this wonderful earth and the nature and our common home. And then it's like, okay, how now do I apply that? What can I do? She'll help us to find our feet and to move forward, to hope and act with creation, which is the theme for this month, to hope and act with creation. And it's really to encourage people to take on some action. We'd encourage parishes to take on an action around biodiversity in the grounds around the church. And we'll be holding a workshop on that later in the month. We've provided a lot of resources to parishes if they wish to begin, if they're at a beginning stage. And we've broken it down into 5 or 6 easy steps. And we have that information on our website. And we also have leaflets available with all that information on it.
So we'll be able to find those details on dioceseofkerry.ie.
Yeah, if you go into our website there, it's all there. There's a page on the season of creation outlining what it is. There's a page outlining all the steps that a parish can take if they want to take action to improve the biodiversity of the grounds around the church. And this is in a response to the call from the Bishops of Ireland, who've invited parishes, asked parishes to return 30% of their grounds to biodiversity by 2030.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. I have a little patch outside here that I could return to biodiversity.
That's the hope, that people will take that action and that they will begin. And we start with small steps, being realistic. Whatever is possible. It's not that you're going to turn the whole place upside down overnight, but that you do it in steps. Yeah.
That webinar is on this Thursday at 7:30.
Yeah, Thursday, the 12th of September at 7:30. You must register in advance to get the connection. So if you go to our website, there's a button there on the front page. Just press on that, fill in the details, and we'll send you out the link to connect to that.
Excellent. Bernie McCaffrey, thank you so much for being with me here this morning on Horizons.
Thank you, David.
After the break, David tells us exactly what's happening in Ballyhyde today.